Today's best country. It's Froggy 101 of Crockett, as promised. Mama and Papa Crockett here in the studio. I saw a new statistic that came out that kids get $52 a week for allowance.
Wow.
$52
wow.
a week.
Wow.
Now, you kept...
That's some money there.
I know, right? That's better than getting paid here. so, well, growing up, what was our allowance?
Oh, I don't... What was it? Like... $5, $10 a week.
Somewhere around five.
No, it wasn't a month. It was a week.
So you kept the spreadsheet. I've told this before.
Yes.
You kept
yes.
the spreadsheet.
Yeah.
And if you wanted to buy something, we would go down to your office.
Yes.
In your
yes.
corner office.
It was very formal. I was setting you up for success in life.
Mom, can we get a Super Nintendo game? Well, let's go see how much you have.
Yes, that's the truth.
And
yeah.
you pull it out and you know, you're not even close to $60.
I don't remember that.
But
I remember always giving you what you wanted.
No, no. And
yes.
If we wanted to, you'd find something for us to do to make some extra
sure,
money.
Sure, because you had to earn it and you had to learn that work ethic.
When you say earn it, yes. there was no half.
No, you know, don't do a half
job.
You know, job. No, you do
because
it.
Because people don't believe.
To perfection.
People don't believe that when you had us, we had chores to begin with,
yes.
which included dusting
yes.
the dining room furniture.
Yes, yes, it did.
And people
yes.
don't believe that you would go down there after we dust it with
yes.
a finger. And
yes.
you would wipe your finger on every
I
surface.
I did, because you know why? They lied to you, and they told you they did it, and they didn't, so I had to keep
up
with it.
And if there was dust on your finger...
You were in trouble.
And what else happened? You redid it.
You absolutely. You redid it.
You redid it.
You better
redid
do it.
And redid
you better
it.
Not do it again.
And what happens if we didn't do it again?
You'd get in trouble.
Live in the studio with Mama and Papa Crockett. You guys were saying, growing up, I was always... In the hospital.
Oh, yes.
I mean, my whole life I was in the hospital.
Yes.
From the day I was born till up until recently.
Yes.
Hospital.
Yes. Always getting stitched up.
Banged up.
Always.
We took you all the time.
Falling on the steps, off the steps, into the steps, you name it.
The radiator. I remember there's a Christmas picture somewhere, and I have my hand all bandaged up, and I have a black eye.
Yes. You got burned on the radiator and fell down and... bruised your eye, and I had a daycare in the home, and I was watching children, and every time I come around the corner, you'd be crying that you fell, and you had to get stitched up, and I'd get on the phone and tell your father, come home, take him to the hospital.
In fact, I was going to the hospital so many times that they started to question you guys.
Yeah, they questioned whether we were abusing you, but the pediatrician said no. They knew the family and knew we weren't
we were
beating you up.
We were good people, yeah. We just had an overactive son.
Do you remember the year I was playing? I was probably in kindergarten. I remember I was playing soccer by myself, and I tripped and I hit my eye
yes.
off the brick step.
The yes. brick step.
And I remember the door was locked, and my eye was covered in blood, and I'm just banging on the door for you to open
yes,
it.
Yes, and I opened it up, and I was quite surprised.
There was that window above the door,
yes.
that Bobe window. And
yes.
you look. I remember you were yelling. I remember hearing you yelling, what are you banging on that door for? And you looked out the window, and my eye was in blood, and you went, oh, my God.
Yes, yes. Another trip to the hospital. That's what we did with him.
We had in West Virginia, I had that piece of metal under my bed, and I slipped my foot on it. Do you remember that?
Yep.
And... as we got older, Dad ran out of patience for us at the hospital. And I remember I had my foot stitched up. And they said, oh, we'll get you a wheelchair so he can get out to the car. And Dad said, oh, no, he can walk.
Well, he got a pocket knife. And
oh,
I didn't think that he was old enough for it.
That was seventh grade.
But I let him have it. And about 7 o'clock at night, he comes walking in our bedroom. And he holds up his hand and he goes, Mom. I opened up my pocket knife and his whole hand was opened up too. And we had to take him to the hospital.
We got staples on that one.
Yeah. Yes.
And she didn't give you Novocaine.
The nurse didn't.
Jam those staples in.
She said, let me just staple it. It'll only take a couple seconds. It won't hurt at all. And that kid screamed and cried like nobody's business. I was so mad.
Crockett Live with Mama and Papa Crockett in the studio, and we were talking. We always had a video camera growing up, and the only person that seemed to use it the most was me.
Was you?
Yes.
No one appreciated it though because I taped over everything. The batteries were always dead. I was always breaking the camera because we'd go out and we'd do stupid things with the camera.
Right, but it was your true calling, Anthony.
He would go and interview people, and instead of a microphone, he had a stick in his hand.
Yes.
Talking into the stick, and then having the people talk into the stick.
We would get bored in West Virginia. Well, a lot to do in West Virginia, so we got the camera, and we'd say, oh, let's go around and interview people. And we didn't have a microphone, so yeah, we used the stick. We went to an antique store, me, Cy, and Cody. And we were asking, well, these poor people, they didn't want to deal with a bunch of hillbilly kids with a camera and a stick. And they were giving us a real interview. I don't know what they thought we were doing. And I remember my buddy Cy pulled a Pop-Tart out of his pocket at the antique store and said, how much is this Pop-Tart worth? We got thrown out of there. We were always getting in trouble and always breaking the camera.
And always. Anthony always had it on his bicycle recording. So by the time you got to see it, even though they teased me because I couldn't hold the camera still, that bicycle ride, oh my goodness, you couldn't figure out what was going on. That was bad.
One story I've told multiple times over the years about my life growing up was I crashed the car through the garage. But here we have my parents to relive that very exciting day. It started me and Papa Crockett.
And it was exciting.
It was a Super Bowl. I remember it was Super Bowl Sunday. And I was just minding my own. I didn't like the drive to begin with. I didn't like going out driving. You say, come on, let's go for a drive. And prior to this, I was not doing well. Like all the lessons previously, I wasn't getting it. We went out that Sunday.
And you were driving really well.
For the first time ever.
Had a good drive until you pulled into the driveway.
And now our driveway had a big lip to it.
Wasn't that bad.
It seemed big. And when I hit that lip, I panicked. And instead of hitting the brake, I gunned it onto the gas pedal.
Because your father made you nervous. That's why.
He did. You pulled in, you were crooked.
Yes.
I said, straighten
the
wheel
neck.
Out
just
and
couldn't
come in
leave
straight.
It alone. Couldn't leave it alone.
And you hit the gas, went through the middle of two garage
well,
doors.
Well, first I hit your
you
car.
You hit my car.
You grabbed the wheel.
Front of the whole front fender was gone.
You grabbed the wheel, you pulled it, and then I pulled it back. I hit the set your car, and then that's when I lost control and we went right
through between the two garage doors, the post in the garage. You took that completely out. We went through the garage. Luckily, we had a refrigerator in the back.
Oh,
I thought we were going in the pool.
Lord.
I really thought we were going to go in the pool.
If the refrigerator wasn't there, we would have went through the back of the house and into the pool.
Yes. I was sitting on the couch in the den watching TV, and all of a sudden, I heard this unbelievable crash. I'm like, oh my God, what happened? I jumped up. I was almost afraid to open the garage door for fear. I didn't know what was behind it. And I see our truck totaled and the airbag and on Crockett all over his face was swollen like he was in a fight. And I looked at my husband and he was sitting there with like, what the hell just happened? Face.
Do you remember what you said?
Yes, yeah. I was afraid.
Call the police.
No. She said, the first thing she said was, I'm glad I didn't come out here for a snack. Back in the studio once again with Mama and Papa Crockett on a Thursday afternoon. And two boys growing up in the car, road trips could get a little tense. Because we were coming from West Virginia to New Jersey, about a 7.5-hour drive. And after about 2 hours, somebody would start getting on someone else's nerves.
Yes.
And
Kids were getting on your dad and I's nerves.
And sometimes there would be a boiling point that it would all boil over.
Yes.
So we were coming, I think we were going back home to New Jersey, and I was bothering Nick, or my brother.
Which didn't take much.
No, and Nick had a short fuse to begin with. Nick was an angry teenager,
yes,
to say the least.
Yes.
So I'm bothering him, and now all of a sudden you guys are getting irritated. Because I'm just being a pest.
I kept turning around saying, knock it off. Stop.
So at one point, I had the window cracked. Now, it was winter, so it was cold.
Yeah.
And I had my hand out the window.
Yes.
Well, you guys had enough. Dad got cold, and he rolled the window up. And my fingers were still outside the window. So now my fingers are getting smashed in the glass. And I start screaming because it hurts. Nick is hysterical laughing at me.
And I turn around and I think they're still fighting, and I start slapping the crap out of you, saying, "I told you to knock
it
off."
So you're sitting there hitting me in the head.
I'm hitting Anthony.
I'm screaming. My hand is stuck out the window, and Nick is the only one that's
laughing.
But he's laughing so hard because I can't get away to defend myself.
And all of a sudden, I look over and I see your fingers waving in the wind. I'm like, "Oh my God, Micah's fingers are stuck in the window. Roll it down, roll it down." And when the window went down and your fingers were okay, at that point, it was hilarious. And hilarious. We were laughing so hard.
Hilarious for everybody but me. It's Froggy 101. I'm Croggy. I'm live. My parents straight from South Carolina. And we were talking about maybe, ladies, your husband had a little bit too much fun. It was a company Christmas party.
It wasn't Christmas. It was summertime.
Oh, it was summertime. Yes, it was summertime. It was a summertime party. And I remember it because you both went to this party. It was me, my friend John Wilson, my buddy Cody Boy. We were staying home alone, and it was late. It was like almost midnight, maybe later. And for some reason, John went outside. I don't know why. And he came running back in, and he was all scared. He's like, "Hey, man, someone's breaking into your backyard." I said, "What?" He said, "There's a big guy moaning on the side of your house." And I was like, "No." He's like, "Yeah, man." And so we all ran to the back door, and we were looking out, and all of a sudden we see this big guy come like almost crawling into the backyard, and then he collapses on the pool chair, and we're like, "What is this? What's going on?" And I crack the door, and all of a sudden I hear my mom go, "Get inside and tell your friends to go home." And I was like, "What in the world happened?" Well, it turned out that big guy was my father. Now, what happened exactly?
Well, we went to this very nice corporate party at a bar and had dinner and all, and he had way too much fun and way too much to drink.
He came home, his nose was all busted
yes,
open?
Yes, well, he decided.
So how does one get a busted nose at a Christmas party?
He decided to do push-ups at the party. And while in doing his push-ups, he lost his strength and fell right on his nose, face planted, right on the floor. And he got up and his nose was all bloody. I was mortified. I was embarrassed. I'm like, "Oh my God, let me get him out of here and put him in the car and take him home." I'm like, "Just get in the car." Roll down the window, then all the way home. We get home and I'm like, "You are not going to sleep in that house tonight. I am putting you in the backyard in a lawn chair." So that's what I did, and they caught us coming around, and he slept all night.
You did sleep
outside in the recliner.
You have nothing
lawn
to
chair.
Say for yourself.
Yeah,
slept outside.
Outside, getting sick.
Do you remember
by the pool?
Do you remember the party at all?
Oh yeah, yes, I remember completely.
Were you doing one arm push-ups or just regular push-ups?
I was doing one arm push-ups.
See, that's why he fell. He was doing the one arm push-ups.
Yeah, lost his balance.
Don't you remember the scene in Rocky when he was doing one arm push-ups and fell down and hurt his nose, and Adrian drove him home?
Rocky makes it a lot better.
Growing up, we grew up Catholic, and we went to CCD,
The classes were at night.
Right, so you went to classes. They were night classes. My brother's 2 years older than me, so we were never in the same class. So it was dark one night. We got out, and class was probably over at what time?
Maybe 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock. So we get out of class. I got out first, came down. You said, "Where's your brother at?" And I said, because everybody got out at the same time.
All classes let
right.
out.
And it was a lot
time.
Of kids came out.
Yep. I'm waiting and riding around. No Nick.
And you keep saying, "Are you sure Nick was there?" I said, "Yeah, he was." We went up and then he went in the class.
So I finally, after probably 20 minutes, go into the class, and there's the whole class after class. The nun kept them after class because they were talking.
Now, she didn't tell anybody. She was holding the kids at.
No.
And I remember you brought me with you. And all the parents were waiting in the hallway with the door closed.
I walked into that classroom.
He walked in like the Terminator.
I am screaming and cursing at this nun.
This is no lie. I was there. She tried to get in your face. Boy, that was the wrong thing to do that night.
Boy, I was on her so bad, and I told her, "Don't you ever keep my son after class again without coming out and telling me."
And everybody now. in that hallway. A pin could have dropped. And she let those boys out real fast.
Yes, they came out immediately.
I don't think ever. Nick
never, ever held after again.
And this was after many years of going to Catholic school and Mike got hit with a ruler on his hands.
There may have been some ulterior motives in this yelling.
Them nuns were mean when you were in school.
Crockett Live with Mama and Papa Crockett in the studio. And we're trying to think of stories as we talk. And you said they come easier.
Yes, if I have some amaretto in me. So I told them on the way over to the station, let's stop and get Mama some little, you know,
a little
pick me up, right?
Now everybody knows we're a family of drinkers. It's well known. It's documented. What would you say, Papa Crockett, is your favorite drink?
Bourbon.
What kind of bourbon?
Old Granddad.
Old Granddad. How about you, Mom?
I like a variety of things. But this morning it was amaretto. Last night it was a margarita.
Top shelf margarita.
Absolutely.
You don't deal with bottom shelf.
No. Nope. Don't want to get sick. Been there, done that when I was young.
Since I've been born, I've always heard top shelf margarita.
Yes, you're right. Anything top shelf.
Now, how do you have a margarita? Top shelf.
Ask your father.
Ice
with
salt.
Salt the rim.
Heavy salt.
It's always been the same.
On the rocks.
And
on
you are old fashioned or just a bourbon?
Anything with bourbon.
Anything with bourbon.
And it makes us happy. I mean, what else? We're seniors now. What else do we have to look forward to?
Every Friday, I get a picture of you two drinking out in Southern. How are your parents?
Drunk.
Here with Mom and Papa Crockett. Now, you two both. Your whole lives grew up in New Jersey, right outside Philadelphia.
Yes.
City kind of life, busy. And then all of a sudden, we all uprooted to West Virginia.
Yes.
And people don't believe when I say we were in a small town in West Virginia. One traffic light, really one main road, one restaurant, small.
We went from concrete to the woods.
To the woods, right. Mm-hmm. And that town was little. Everybody knew your business. Mm-hmm. Everybody knew everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just telling this story last night at dinner that the self-cleaning oven, you put it on the...
has nothing to do with the town.
It does. So you you put the self-cleaner. What is it? You like...
It just put it on self-clean. My husband's Italian. He's always got grease going on. Well, the oven caught on fire grease.
She put it in self-cleaner mode. And when you do that, it locks the door. So you can't open until it's done the 50-minute clean. So... It didn't catch on fire.
It did. I seen
it. It was like you lit a candle, that big of a flame.
He lies.
I don't lie.
He lies.
So
it was on fire in the oven.
She called the fire department.
Yes.
Now, in this small town, there's a big alarm that the whole town, anybody calls the fire department, it goes, and the whole town hears this. The whole town knows there's a fire going on. All the firemen jump in their trucks. So the whole fire department shows up at the house for this candle flame. And they are in all because
you are exaggerating.
They're assuming the house.
I was afraid my house was going to burn down.
They're assuming the house is on fire. And now we didn't live in a small house in West Virginia. A lot of my friends had small houses, so they pull up to the big house, expecting a fire. There's this little flame.
Mm.
All these years later, on the wrestling team, we had a freshman. His name was Ryan. His dad was a fireman. First meet, Ryan's dad comes up to me and goes, "Aren't you the house that called the fire?" He was there on the day. He goes, Isn't your mom the one that called the fire department when the oven caught on fire?" I said, "That was my mom." You said, "It wasn't on." It wasn't on fire. The whole town knew your business.
I couldn't get it open to do anything because it locks automatically, and I wasn't going to take a chance.
You're lucky they didn't kick the oven door open to put out that.
I was surprised.
That massive flame.
I was surprised they didn't.
It went out when they were there.
You best earned your money. Because I don't want my house to catch on fire after y'all leave because you think it's funny.
Don't defend her.
She exaggerated.
He wasn't there.
He
was the one responsible for all the grease in the oven, though.
Live in the studio, Mama and Papa Crockett, and something that's been a bit of a tradition on my show. Every Halloween, we hear ghost stories. We've heard them every year for, 5 years. And everybody always asks me, these stories, they've become a thing of where people now either, they hear them for the first time, but everybody wants to know, are they true? Did they really happen? And they're all your stories.
They
really
are true.
The Wolfman.
True, the Wolfman.
Because people swear, One, they hear the Wolfman or the Jersey Devil. We don't know what it was.
We don't know what it was, but it was something in the Jersey woods.
A man covered in fur and yellow eyes.
Yellow eyes with two giant black dogs.
Now, there was the chain that rattled that Mom could hear sometimes then.
Yes, there was a ghost in our house in Haddon Heights, that and house, I could hear the chain rattling at night.
And the fish tank that talked. Now, did you ever hear the fish tank talk?
No, I never heard it talk.
Yes, it did.
I questioned that one.
I got up many a night.
I think there was some bourbon involved in that.
Hear the fish tank.
Now, the last one, do you remember the night Nick's ventriloquist dummy came to life?
Well, I don't remember when it came to life, but he claims it did and was sitting there looking at him.
Do you remember running into his room that night?
I remember going into his room, yes, because it was scary. I didn't want to buy them things in the first place. They were creepy. And they told, oh, we got to have them. We got to have them. So they got them at Christmas.
Because that was right around the time. So me and my brother Nick always shared a bedroom. We had bunk beds.
Yes.
And right around this time, you got rid of the bunk beds. You let Nick have his own bed, and you pushed me into my own bed by myself.
Right.
Shortly after this, the ventriloquist dummy came to life. Mm. And I remember laying in that bed. I didn't like laying in the bed by myself to begin with. I liked having my brother. And I remember hearing Nick screaming in the room, and you two running down there. I'm asking, what's going on? You just stay in your room. I'm thinking, oh, this is great.
We had spirits in that house. There were spirits in that house.
It was a historical house. It had historical value.
Now, what was the scariest thing that ever happened to you in the house?
The chain. But I got to tell you, them dolls didn't last long. They ended up going in the trash after that night. Them ventriloquist dolls. I thought, no, you're not going to come along in the middle of the night and walk in my bedroom and kill me. No, they went right in the trash after that.
How about you? What was the scariest thing in the house?
It was the talking
fish
tank. Nick does swear that the fish tank did talk.
It talked.
And
I'd get to the room, and it would stop talking. It was talking in a foreign language, in tongues.
Oh,
and I'd get up and go down the hall, and as soon as I got there, it stopped. But it was talking.
Stopped. Because you realized you would have been drinking. Hey, how about that singing fish we had on our wall? That thing used to creep me out, too.
Big Mouth Billy or
bass,
something.
Bass Mouth. That thing used to freak me. I was scary, too. That went in the trash, too. You couldn't even look at it out of the corner of your eye to see if it was looking at you, and it starts singing. Trash.
101. I'm Crockett here with Mama and Papa Crockett, and we were reminiscing about Thanksgiving because I've told the story thousands of times about the year Dad forgot to put the oven on.
Yes.
And your dad, Mom, was saying, oh, are you sure you put that turkey in?
Yes.
I was sure I put it in. I did put it in, but I didn't turn the oven on.
We were playing cards.
We didn't eat until midnight that night.
And we were playing cards, and my father kept saying, Mike, I don't smell the turkey. I don't smell the turkey. And Mike just dismissed him as usual, because they're the old people at that point.
And sure enough,
yep, I go and check the turkey, and there it is, completely raw. Never ever turn
hours
the oven.
Hours later,
we didn't eat till midnight that night.
Yeah,
hours.
But then you were telling me in the car that you dropped the turkey.
Yes, I did. One Thanksgiving, my parents came over, and everything was going great, and we decided to put the turkey in one of those foil pans. And we were in the kitchen with my mom and dad, and we opened up the oven. The turkey's beautiful. I pull the turkey rack out. I pull the roasting pan out, and all of a sudden the roasting pan collapses, and the turkey fell out and slid across.
It's like a 28-pound turkey, fully stuffed.
I was like, I was in shock.
Just all over the floor, sliding around.
I couldn't believe it. And my father and mother are looking at us, and they're looking at each other. And my father says, we're going to go in the other room now, because he was afraid we were going to get in a big fight.
So what do? Just pick up the turkey?
Yeah, we picked it up and
put
we ate it.
Put it on a planter and ate it.
We ate it. Oh, well.
One, I'm Crockett live in the studio with my parents. We are back for yet another day, and we have a whole bunch of stories written down. How about we start? There's a lot of good ones here as I look through our list. You know what? Christmas just happened. I've told this story incorrectly for many years. You guys are here to set the story straight because I haven't been telling it right. I've actually been making fun of my poor mother for quite a few years about this story because I told everybody my mother made us eat poison Christmas cookies.
Oh.
But it turns out everybody knew they weren't Christmas cookies, but one person. So you found a recipe in a cookbook.
Yes.
Or a magazine,
yes,
or something.
Yes, I made dough ornaments.
They were ornaments.
Yes.
But they were shaped like Christmas cookies.
Yes.
Yes.
So they could hang them on the Christmas tree. And they were on a baking sheet. And one of my husband's friends came over. And everybody's standing around talking.
Uncle Fuzzy shows up.
Yes, yes.
Who is a very prominent attorney and judge.
Yes.
So he's not a dumb person. But
he shows up and what happens?
He grabs the cookies and he starts eating them. After about the third cookie, he says, "These are horrible. They don't even taste good." And we're cracking up laughing because we know they're decorations.
So you guys let Uncle Fuzzy eat three decorations before anybody breaks the news to him. Hey, these aren't cookies.
He's lucky he didn't break his tooth.
And you can see that you just let him keep going, eat the cookie, eat the cookie.
Oh, yeah, it was funny.
He was eating them fast. It wasn't a long time.
Today's Best Country, it's Froggy 101. I'm Crockett, live with Mama and Papa Crockett, hearing lots of stories. And a lot of times people tell me they don't believe all the stories I tell them or I'm making them up. And recently I said my parents, they got a flat tire on the way to the hospital and they traded in their car because it didn't come with a spare tire. And people said, no one would do that. Dad, is it true?
Yes, it is. It was 3:00 in the morning, 2-hour drive to the hospital. We were about an hour down the road, and all of a sudden I hear a bang and a flop, 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 and my tire goes completely flat. I pulled over into a parking lot, said, I'm just going to change the tire. Look in the back, there's no spare tire. Couldn't believe it.
I said, what are you doing, Mike? He said, I'm going to change the tire. Now, my husband can't change no tire at his age and his poor body beaten up. And he said, I said, what are you doing? I'm going to look for the tire. And I said, okay. And I go, well, where's the tire? He goes, we don't have one. I said, what do you mean we don't have one?
I never heard of a car without a spare tire. And this was a brand new car.
Yes.
A few years old. We had to pay $200 to get towed back and buy a new tire. Next day, I said, that's it. I'm going to get a new car. We went and traded the car in.
Yes, the salesman didn't even believe we were doing it for that.
Less than 15,000 miles on it.
And the sales,
I said, I got to have a spare tire.
The sales guy even said, you're not trading your car for a spare tire.
And I said, oh, yes, we are.
Yes, we are.
Yes, that's ridiculous.
And then you said the tow truck guy, you thought you...
He was nuts. He was crazy. He was like some country bumpkin or something. I thought we were going to get in a car accident driving in his big tow truck. He was talking, looking at his phone at the same time he was supposed to be driving us.
He said he was a Jeep owner. He had two of them.
So he
was. They have spare tires.
Yes, he was arguing with Dad, and he's going, I know I have Jeeps, and there's got to be a spare tire. And I said, no, there's not. And he said, it's probably under the carriage. I said, no, it's not. My husband looked. I guess he don't know them Jeeps as well as he thinks he does.
Today's Best Country, it's Froggy 101. I'm Crockett here with my parents, Mama and Papa Crockett. And growing up, everybody knows... They know you've got to know me over the years. I've been here for about 15 years on Froggy 101, maybe even longer. So you've heard a lot of stories. You know me, how I kind of am. Not much has changed from when I was a toddler to today. A lot of the same things, always getting in trouble. In fact, you really couldn't take me to too many parties. We went to whose house did we go to?
Dan Kramer's.
Uncle Dan.
Uncle Dan's house. And it was a suit and tie event.
Yep.
In the summertime. Now, at this point, it was before kindergarten because I couldn't swim yet.
No.
And I was standing next to you, and he had a, I think it was a
beautiful
big,
built-in pool, beautiful pool. Backyard. And
some of the kids were in the pool in their bathing suits.
Yes, but we came all dressed up.
So here we are in our nice clothes. I'm all dressed up. And I remember looking at you and saying, Dad, I want to go in the pool. And what did you say?
I said, yeah, you're allowed. Go ahead.
Jump in. Now, at this point, I can't swim. Why would you think it was a good idea to tell me to jump in the pool?
I didn't tell you to jump in. That's an exaggeration.
No, it's not.
So here I go, and I guess you thought I would go to the steps.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't swim.
He wasn't even thinking, Anthony.
And put a bathing suit on.
So what happened?
You jumped in fully clothed in the deep end, not even the shallow end.
All the women started screaming.
I remember. I could close my eyes and see myself floating to the bottom of the pool. Yeah,
and you've got your hand up, and you're just going all the way to the bottom.
And I'm looking, and I'm like, oh, my God, go get him.
So what happens?
I jumped in fully clothed
fully
in my
dressed.
Suit and pulled you out.
Shoes, socks, dress pants, dress shirt. He brings him to the service. Everybody's, yay, clapping.
Everybody's treating Dad like the hero when
yes.
he was the one that told me to
yes.
jump in.
Yes.
Father
yes.
of the year.
Yes, because he's not paying no attention.
Mm. Well, I thought you were smart enough to change and at least go in the shower.
Yeah, Mike,
end.
I think he was two.
Crockett Live with my parents, Mama, Papa Crockett, and we were talking in West Virginia. You guys made really good friends with the next door neighbors. I almost like a best friend.
Yes. Yes.
And when anybody would go on vacations, the other house would take care of the
yes.
house. So our neighbor, Steve, put me in charge of cutting his grass and watering their plants.
Yes.
Because they were going to be gone for a week. In that week, I managed to break their lawn, break the lawnmower, and I killed all the plants
yes.
we were supposed to be watering.
Yes.
I remember you came inside and you said, have you been watering the plants? I said, yeah, I've been watering the plants. And you went over there because I guess you just had a feeling.
Yeah, they were all dead. And he broke the lawnmower. And I said, how embarrassing. Dear God, they're our best friends.
You were the worst person to mow a lawn.
What the heck?
You used to get the lawnmower and run. As fast as you
yeah,
can pushing
you're right,
it.
I forgot that.
And that's how you ruined the lawnmower, well, running with it.
I broke his. No, I broke his because I lost control of it. And I ran.
I wonder why.
I ran into the fence and I broke a piece off it. Because I remember I took it. I said, Dad, can you fix this? But it was steel. Unless you were going to weld it back together. I broke Granddad's lawnmower running with it. I remember I pulled it and it just blew up. Smoke went everywhere. And you said, that's it. That one's ruined. You ruined two lawnmowers in a week. So I'm not the best at lawn care.
Yes, needless to say, you couldn't go into landscaping.
101. I'm Crockett Live with my parents in studio from South Carolina. Having a lot of fun talking about a lot of stories. And in West Virginia, you guys, wherever we lived, you guys always kind of made friends with the whole neighborhood.
Yes.
And whether they wanted to or not, all of a sudden they got...
They liked us and came over.
Right. Now all of a sudden they realized, no, we're going to stop
have
being...
some fun.
Shut-ins and have some fun.
Right.
So you had a 4th of July party. Now we
yes.
had a nice backyard in West Virginia, big in-ground pool.
Yes.
And I think you guys just had a lot of stuff done around the pool.
Yes. Everything was brand new. And that we had a teenage boy that lived in back of us. And he was always, you know, cranking up his motorcycle in a screened-in porch. And he used to shoot fireworks off and all kind of stuff. But we were good neighbors, so we tried to ignore the boy.
But then one 4th of July party couldn't be ignored anymore.
Nope.
Yes.
Nope. I had a half a gallon empty booze bottle. I was putting big bottle rockets in it and shooting it off to them in, over their house in the backyard.
And they were shooting them back to us. And I said to Mike, you better stop doing that because if that fireworks goes in that new liner of that pool and ruins that pool, oh boy, we're going to have a fight.
And sure enough, one misfired and went off in the middle of the pool.
It was like an explosion.
And the pool all lit up. Oh, she came flying out of the house. That was the end of the party. The neighbors scattered all over.
Now, I'm a fun-loving person. I'm always laughing and joking around. But when that firework exploded in my brand-new pool, I said, that's it. Everybody, get out.
The pool was always a sore spot because when you lived here in Pittston, we used to play pool volleyball. You, me, and a couple of my buddies.
Yeah.
And this is where we ended up calling Mom, Mama D, Fun Police. Because if you were having fun, Mom was coming to shut it down. And we would play pool volleyball, and we always had plastic cups. That was the rule. Well, one day we didn't have plastic. The one time we didn't have plastic cups, and Ronnie hit a ball into and broke a glass. And that glass went all over the backyard, went into the pool, and we must have spent 2 hours, all of us, shuffling our feet trying to find glass.
And vacuuming the whole pool
two
out
hours.
To get rid of
all
the glass.
I had to hear this sorrowful story,
Mama
too.
Mama D. Fun Police came home for 2 minutes and found glass. And we thought, okay, we're all cleaned up. We're going to keep it quiet. 2 minutes, you came out and found glass. She said, Who broke a glass? Oh, we were in trouble that day, too.
And Dad was like, I can't believe you found the one piece of glass we didn't see.
And guess what?
I'm like,
the party ended as soon as you came home.
That's it for you guys. Yeah. No more in the pool.
Froggy 101, I'm Crockett live in the studio with my parents, and a lot of reminiscing going on, a lot of stories. And my dad brought up something about a moose, and we're like, a moose? And then it dawned on me what it was all about. I made a friend in kindergarten. Her name was Mary Wolf. She had red hair, and we were buddies. We were pals.
Obviously.
And she moved away to Alaska after kindergarten. And my mom said, this would be a good way for you to learn how to have a pen pal.
Yes.
And so we wrote each other back a few times.
Yes.
And then one day she sent a letter.
Yes.
With a picture.
It had a picture of Mary Wolf standing next to a moose.
That had been killed.
Slayed.
And was gutted.
Hoisted up in the air by its legs.
We're like, wow, what a girl.
And this poor moose is hanging upside down between these two giant trees. And there's just a giant cut down it. And it's bleeding. And I remember I loved animals growing up. I loved them. And I remember my mom, I don't even know why he would show me that picture. Why you wouldn't just throw that one away?
I couldn't believe it.
Look what Mary Wolf sent you. Here's the picture of Mary.
She was probably so proud and wanted to share that
with
you.
Well, guess what? Bad news for Mary Wolf. She never got another letter from me.
No more Mary Wolf in the DeMarco house.
Oh, my heavens.
My parents from South Carolina, Mom, Papa Crockett, and Mama, Papa Crockett, joining us. And yesterday, Dad said that Mom is not only the muscles of the operation, but also the mouth of the the operations. Mom has always been the defender of the family.
Yeah. And I keep the controller.
And you said this story is for the ladies out there.
Yes, making returns, ladies. I mean,
you gotta return
we know
some,
about that.
You got to return things to the store. And
right.
Sometimes
You run up against an obstinate person that doesn't want to work with you.
Now, let me paint the backstory here because, and I'm sure if I called my brother, he would not be on your side on this one to this day.
Because he was embarrassed.
My oldest brother skateboarded, and he loved to skateboard, and he bought a pair of skate shoes. They're made to go skateboarding in.
Back in the day,
and
they were $80.
This in the 90s.
A lot of money.
$80 in the 90s, that's an expensive pair of shoes. So Nick went out skateboarding in them. And he got a hole in him because he was doing tricks.
Yes.
And he only had them for about a week. But he was skateboarding in the shoes.
Yes.
And he ripped them. So you thought, I'm returning these shoes.
Yes, absolutely.
And I remember Nick arguing, you can't return them. They're skate shoes. That's what happens.
Because he didn't pay for them. That's why.
So we went to this local skate shop. And these poor kids working there, you know, they're just skater dudes.
Yes.
And they were not ready for what happened.
No. And I told them, I said, you know, these should last not a week. That's ridiculous for the money. As far as I was concerned, they should have lasted the rest of his life. So I said, I'm bringing them back. You know, I want my money back. And they just didn't want to do it. And we went back and forth. And the one guy looked at me after a while and he said, I see what you're driving, that big old black Cadillac. And it, like, made me feel like I shouldn't be returning them because I'm driving in a Cadillac.
And when he said that,
that point, I lost it. I could have jumped the counter. I mean,
she
really.
Was yelling at that kid. I'll never forget. I was sitting in across the room, and I was like, oh, boy, this kid's about to get beat up.
And our son was so embarrassed, but oh, well.
Nick was mortified because he went and hung out in that store, and now his mom has got the kid by the shirt.
I didn't get him by the shirt.
Did you? But everyone wants to know. Did you get your money back?
Yes, I did. But the point was, it should have lasted longer than a week.
Did we ever go back to that store?
I didn't.
Crockett, and we were talking. I have a brother, Nick, and Nick was always, our whole life, he was just Oh, what would you? I wouldn't say a problem child, but
defiant.
Yeah, defiant. Right. If you told Nick the sky was blue, he'd tell you it was green. It was. He fought with everybody, including his teachers. And we had a couple teachers in elementary school who were not the nicest people. Miss Mall being one of them. Miss Mall made it was flowers. They were learning about flowers.
Yes, and they had to color them.
One of the assignments was you got a black and white piece of paper. You had to look up the flower and then color the flower that to match.
Yes.
And one of the flowers was white.
Yes.
And the paper was white.
Yes.
So we know. So there's two versions. There's Mrs. Mall's version and there's Nick's version.
Yes.
Mrs. Mall version is Nick said the page is already white. No need to color the flower white.
Yes.
It's already white.
Yes.
Nick claimed he colored it white.
Yes. He swore he colored it white.
He swore.
I got a phone call from Mrs. Mall, and she was very upset that Nicholas told her that he didn't color his paper white, and he swore up and down it did. But Mama knows better. Because it was already white, I'm sure Nick felt that he didn't have to color it, but I didn't give him up.
So you stuck up for
him. I stuck up
for
him.
You knew Nick was lying, though.
I stuck up for him and said, oh, he said he colored it, and I believe him.
Because this went on, like, for a while.
And
I remember.
She was so mad, but, you know, you got to stick up for your kids once in a while.
But here we are in 2025. Do you think Nick colored it?
No.
No.
No. But if you were to call Nick today, he would still swear he colored it.
I think he would. And maybe he did. But I just didn't believe it.
To this day, no one believes him. This country, Froggy 101. So a few minutes ago, around 4:45, we were talking about a story about my brother and my mom defending my brother in fourth grade. Nick, you're on the phone, right?
Yeah.
Okay. We wanted because we were all talking whether you would say you did or not. Do you remember in fourth grade when you had, I think it was fourth grade, with Mrs. Mall, and you had the color flowers?
Oh, yeah.
Now, we're in trouble.
Now, the argument was Mrs. Mall said you didn't color the flower because it was white, and you said the paper was already white. And you swear you colored it. And Mom defended you, but Mom doesn't believe you. She said, I defended him, but I don't think he actually colored the flower. So we're here to set the record straight. Did you color that flower?
Tell the truth.
At first I did not. I
thought there you go. He's got great at half-truths.
Yeah, no, I thought it was stupid to color a white flower when the paper was white. The work was already done for me. After I got in trouble, I did color it white, and then she still didn't believe me. So it was a you know, damned if you do, damned if you don't kind of deal with her anyway.
So since we have you here and we have some time, we also told the story about Mom returning your skateboard shoes a couple days ago.
Oh, Lord.
And she still, to this day, doesn't think she was in the wrong.
She was absolutely in the wrong. I destroyed those shoes, and there was nothing, no ifs, ands, or buts about it, and she threatened that poor boy's life.
I did not.
For a free pair, she shook him down.
I did not shake him down.
Now, if you didn't hear that story, Nick was a skateboarder. Nick went skating in skate shoes, destroyed the shoes, and Mom thought it was ridiculous.
It was only a week. A week later, them shoes should have lasted forever. They were $80 or $90.
Well, I skated in them a lot.
They were poor quality.
So we're finding a lot of truths out about Mom and Dad this week, and I guess you too. Mom also says the fish tank didn't talk.
I didn't hear it.
The fish tank talked.
That fish tank talked.
I think they were.
Every night.
I said your father was drinking bourbon then.
Well, we weren't drinking bourbon.
We have to live in
that haunted house.
Well, Nick, thanks for setting the record straight, and we're happy to know that you did color the flower.
Yes. After all these years, we finally got the truth out of him.
If Mrs. Mall is still alive, we'll call her and tell her too. Blake Shelton, Stay Country or Not, trying today's Best Country, Froggy 101. Still got my brother on the phone as we're talking to him and my parents. Now, Nick is in West Virginia, has his little daughter, Quinn. She's 2 years old, and you bought her, like, a Power Wheels, right? Like, the automated car.
Yeah, times five.
Yeah, not, Yeah, and you know, in true DeMarco fashion, I didn't just get anyone. I got the fastest one that you could get.
And mom's not happy about it because she thinks it's going to catch on fire.
And it might. I mean, that's a real possibility. But I think she's more concerned that Quinn, who is part Brittany, has a need for speed.
Yes.
And so you told me something that I didn't tell them, so you could break the news to them.
Well, I kept waiting for a video to come over, you know, the phone to see, you know, her driving her Jeep in action, but apparently I missed it.
Well, the reality is there was no video because Quinn floored it, and Brittany had to run after her, while she was running after her trying to catch her, Brittany slipped on ice and fell, and then Quinn ran and hit a pole and ran the Jeep up the pole, and the wheels were spinning, and Brittany was trying to call me, laying down on the ground.
And Brittany's pregnant, by the way.
Ice all around her.
And Brittany is pregnant, by the way.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I told you, the fun police is never wrong, and I had a premonition about this, and you all wouldn't listen to me. Thank God everybody's okay.
And she wasn't wearing a helmet.
Oh, my God. I'm going to come take that baby and bring her back to South Carolina. That is shameful.
How dare
you? I was at home. I wasn't even there to help.
Oh, my God. Well, oh, my God. Brittany.
She wasn't even worried about Brittany.
Brittany and Quinny better stay away from wheels.
Brittany's fine. She'll figure it out.
Oh, my. No, that's terrible.
In my defense, I walked and I made sure everything was fine. We got to the park. Quinn gets out, start playing. I'm like, ooh, I left the remote control so I can take over in case she gets away.
That was my next question.
I'll just run home. Yeah, so I walked home. We only live a block away. And in the time I made it home, I was getting these text messages for Brittany. I fell and slipped on the ice. There's leaves everywhere. I'm over this. Quinn's driven it up a pole, and the wheels are spinning.
That is awful.
She takes after my driving record.
At least you're telling the truth now, but I think I liked it better when you coded it a little bit.
Quinn's a great driver.
Oh, my God, up the pole. Well, what did Quinn do when she ran it up the pole and the wheels were spinning? Call the insurance company?
No, she was in shock. She was frozen. Thankfully, the pole was there, else she'd still be driving.
Oh, my God. Don't leave that house without the remote.
Mama and Papa Crockett and we're talking about all sorts of stories. And growing up, Dad, you were always building something for the house.
Always.
There was the sunroof, you fixed the chimney, you fixed the roof, you built a whole sunroom. Something was always going on. One of those projects is you used to build a big barn.
Yes.
Like a big red barn. You'd build it from
two-story barn.
Two stories, ground up, you'd build it. And we'd keep our Christmas decorations, lawnmowers, things like that in there. So one year you decided we need more, I guess, shelter space.
I needed to put like a lean-to off to the side.
Like an awning.
Yeah, to cover up our Christmas sleigh.
Right. And so you built this secondary, you know, awning onto it. And I never helped build anything. I was always out shopping with Mom. And for some reason, you said, why don't you come up and help me? Were you putting the shingles on it?
We were just finishing putting the plywood down.
Okay.
And I had put two screws in to temporarily hold it up while we were doing this.
And we're on the roof. We're high up there.
Yep.
I had no knowledge of this.
And you're saying, Dad, I don't think there's enough.
We're up there, and I hear it creaking, and I keep saying to you, Dad, is this going to hold us? Oh, it's going to hold us. And I said, I don't think it's holding us, Dad. And next thing you know, you just hear a crack.
And that thing came crashing down.
We came down so fast, right on the concrete. And it must have been loud because the guy way down the block came running to see if we were okay. He said, I heard a crash and I came running. I remember we hit the ground. You were looking for me in the rubble. Where are you?
Oh, my God.
Are you okay? Are you okay? Yep. I remember just saying, I told you it wasn't going to hold us.
And yep. I didn't know this. Anthony came in the house to tell me about it. And I'm like, what? This is why our sons were never allowed to build with their father, the contractor, because he never put any guards on. He's like Mr. Danger.
Well, it's funny. I was just recently building something in the house. And I have some of your old tools. And the one saw doesn't even have the original cord on it. It has been, there's an extension cord that's been rewired to the power saw, and it's just wrapped up in tape. And I'm looking at it going, this is going to cause a fire.
And he laughs. He thinks everything's funny.
Everything is all
funny.
They all work. They all work.
They'll be fine. Don't worry about it.
I mean, seriously, every tool I have from him is wrapped in tape and is rewired with extension cords.
I believe it.
Country Froggy 101, if you hear my mom in the background there. You knocked everything over.
My God.
Wrecking the place.
She is wrecking the place.
I'm getting him back for all he put me through.
Well, that's kind of what we were talking about. Wrecking your house over the years. You were telling us a story off air about the dining room table. Was it the dining room table?
No. Dad had just built me a table for out in our sunroom. It was beautiful, and he stained it and shellacked it. And you got some idea in your mind to go get your markers and decided to marker on a piece of paper, and it went through the paper, and I had markers all over my table. And I came in, I said, what are you doing? And you looked at me like you didn't know what happened. I said, that marker better come off that table or you are in such trouble. I was so mad, but I got it all off, lucky for him.
Now, over the years, how many things do you think you fixed or repaired from me and Nick destroying the house?
I can't count the number. You guys were always doing something.
Always breaking something. Do you still have those houses on top of the TV, right? Those little houses?
Yes. Yeah.
I remember me and Nick were wrestling, and we broke the chimney off of one of those. Mm. Oh, and you were so mad. You better hope your father can fix. The amount of times I heard that sentence in my life, well, you better hope your father can fix this.
We were very lucky because your father was very handy. I mean, he kind of fixed anything and everything.
I was always fixing something.
The only thing he couldn't fix was that year, the video. Remember the VHS tape recorded over a Christmas tape?
Oh, yes.
Boy, was I in trouble.
You were in trouble that night.
My sister was in from out of town that I never got to see with her children, and my husband taped over part of that.
No, I got caught in the VCR, and when he pulled it out, it ruined.
Oh, when he pulled it out. Yeah. I cried.
You were mad at
that? I cried. I was so mad, and then they have me, they're recording me setting up the Christmas tree and putting decorations on. I couldn't even focus. I was so upset.
And how many times, if we didn't tape over that tape, do you think we would have watched it?
No, that's a lie.
Every Thanksgiving and Christmas, we watch those movies.
I could see if it was me or Nick or Mike, but it's.
We weren't going to watch her sister.
It was
never.
Just a sentimental thing to have.
We've been having a lot of fun telling stories. Now, I was just recently at your house not too long ago, and while I was there, you had a. I came home and I told the story, and you argued it wasn't true, but it was true. Cockroaches are in the house, and you suck them up with your vacuum cleaner. It's disgusting.
Well, they're not technically cockroaches.
They're not really a cockroach. They're large palmetto bugs. They're about 3 inches long.
They're disgusting.
That live in the palm trees, and if you live in South Carolina or Florida, they come into your house, and they're big and black and they just make the hair stand up on the back of your neck. They're awful.
You turned into Egon Spengler from the Ghostbusters and came up with a solution.
Well, they're very fast. And I'll never forget when we first moved there, we were watching TV and I seen one crawling up the wall. And I said, oh, my God, what is that? And it was one of those bugs. And they're so hard to catch because they're so fast. But I kind of was thinking to myself, well, I've got one of those stick
vacuum cleaners.
And I said, if I put that on high, I bet I could suck that sucker up. And so now that's what I do. It's awesome.
Our vacuum is full of bug carcasses.
It's not full. I empty it out. And it just annihilates them. They can't even get away.
So the first 10 minutes I'm there, you're sucking up bugs in your vacuum cleaner, and then you have a little spray pesticide that you walk around like you're the Orkin man.
I could make some money doing that.
There you go. You just retired from your first job.
Yes.
Now you can be an exterminator.
I should because I do a good job. I do a better job than
after
the exterminators.
She's going to show with a vacuum and her little bug zapper.
Oh, my God. I'll tell you, that vacuum does the trick, though. It's awesome. And then I spray my poison. Yes, it is a good vacume cleaner.
That was turned into a review.
Mike, what kind of vacuum is it?
I don't remember.
Oh, stop now. I can't remember it either.
We were talking a bit ago about going from New Jersey to West Virginia. Now, big move for us, but a big move for West Virginia people, too, because
I never saw someone that was Italian with a big Cadillac.
Black Cadillac.
Move into a big home.
So this is right at the height of The Sopranos, yes. By the way. We're coming right from outside of Philadelphia. The big black Cadillac, you had the white, like,
Explorer.
Interior. Yeah.
Yes.
The big Explorer, white Explorer. And we rolled into that. I remember we rolled in. We were the only Italian family in town. Mm-hmm. And a lot of Smiths, Elders, John, yeah. James, last
yes.
name. So we roll in our
yes.
big Italian last name. And you guys are telling me that people actually thought we were in
they
the mob.
They asked, why did I move there? Why did you move to West Virginia?
And now, why did we move to West Virginia?
Because I got a job there.
Doing what?
Selling windows.
So you could see that kind of falls into that. Who sells windows? Who moves from South Jersey to West Virginia selling windows? That doesn't sound realistic.
But I told them I was in the witness relocation
just
program.
Just kidding around. You know,
and
we're the
FBI
DeMarcus.
Moved me there. And they believed it. They thought I was in witness relocation.
Yes, they did.
They really did.
They really did.
They wouldn't get in the car when Mom would try to pick these guys up to go to a wrestling meet. Nobody would get
the
in
boys,
your car.
The boys wrestled, and, you know, the moms had to drive the boys to wherever they were wrestling at. And some of the boys wouldn't even get in the back seat of our car. And the ones that did sat there, and they did not move. Like, where are you taking us? You know, to some cliff or something? I am really serious. They really didn't want to get in the car. As it ended up, they were all lovely people, and we made a lot of wonderful friends there. But
after they realized you guys were kidding about the...
Yes, but it
but
took
some
a
of
long
them never
time.
Thought I was kidding. I got asked a number of times to kill people on a hit. They thought I was a hitman for the mob.
God. Crockett here with my parents, Mama and Papa Crockett, and we've kind of gotten into the realm of the West Virginia years when we moved from South Jersey to West Virginia. We went from city life to stick life, and a bit of a culture shock for us, especially yes. for Mom, when Nick, my brother Nick, came home with something.
Yes, the boys at school did things that I never saw up north. And you know how they come home from school and they throw their book bags around. And I just happened to pick up my boy's book bag and unzip it. And there was a big, bloody, plastic-filled bag. And I took it out. I thought, what the heck is this? And I was like, oh, my God. And I'm saying, Nick, what is this? And it's a deer. It wasn't cooked. It looked like it had just been... like slain and stuck in a bag. It had fur on it. And we were supposed to clean it and cook it and eat it. And I thought, oh.
That went right in the trash.
I was going to say, what happened to it?
Right in the trash.
The stories they told, unbelievable. Frying fish in school. You name it, they did it. Well, they had a great life there.
I was thinking, do you remember Sean Statz?
Yes.
Nick's friend.
Yes.
Big kid. He was our heavyweight in wrestling.
Yes, yes.
Do you remember what he said his diet was and why he wasn't losing weight?
He couldn't figure out. He was drinking one of those diets.
Slim Fast
every meal. He thought he should lose weight drinking a Slim Fast with a big meal.
I just don't get it. I have a Slim Fast with every meal, and I'm not losing anyway. Crockett on a Tuesday afternoon. You guys are still here.
Yep. Yes.
Still a lot more stories to tell.
Yes. Am I allowed to talk now?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that.
Yes.
I'm not a professional yet.
So we were talking about how me and you used to go yard sale hunting
yes.
as kids.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when I was a kid, you would take me out. And you said, I don't know if I have a story. And then at the same time, we said, oh, until that time.
Yes.
So we grew up in Haddon Heights, New Jersey,
yeah.
which is a quiet, nice little town, New Jersey.
Yes.
And they would do a community yard sale.
Yeah.
The whole town would do a yard sale. And the town was big. How big do you think Haddon Heights was?
I don't know. It was fairly good size, though.
And there was it was the Black Horse Pike.
Yes.
Right? That we weren't allowed to cross. We weren't
yes.
allowed to go there. And so the big community yard sale was going on. And me and JT, my best friend JT, we asked if we could go yard sale hunting.
I think we were having a yard sale
that day.
You guys
were having, yeah, yes. Everybody was.
Yes, and it was great. We used to love to go just hunting for treasures.
So me and JT were under the assumption we could go wherever we wanted to.
No, they weren't. There was the assumption. Yeah, they made when they left.
So we were gone for a while.
A long time.
Because we went on the other side of the Black Horse Pike where we weren't supposed to. So
they don't listen.
You were driving around the neighbor, our kind of area, looking for
yes.
us.
Yes.
You couldn't find us because we were on the other side of
yes.
town.
Yes, unbeknownst to me. And
then you got JT's dad. So JT's dad was wound up to begin with.
Yes, he was. He was wound tight.
You guys were in real trouble with JT's
and
dad.
He went wild.
So you had the whole search party out for us. I remember me and JT come strolling down the street with our treasures. We're in a good mood, and all I hear is, "Where have you
been?" Oh, my God. I thought something happened to him. JT's father was so upset. You know, anything can happen, even if you're in a nice little small town.
Needless to say, JT didn't get to stay the rest of the day at the house.
No.
He went home and got beaten.
I don't think you got beat, though,
no.
But you got to talking to. You got to talking
enough to. Enough of talking to, we're still talking about it in 2025.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.